and seeks more and more desperately for a solution, that's when we begin to really dance and shout and work and accomplish things. It's when we really shine as lights in a dark world. And so we thank you that though the earth should be moved, yet we will not be moved. And though the earth should quiver and shake, and though the mountain should be thrown into the midst of the sea, yet we will stand firm because of the Word of God, which abides forever. And I thank you, Lord God, that tonight we will be established in our minds forever. That you will cause us to be edified, built up, strengthened in such a way that the enemy cannot launch an attack that will be successful ever again. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, that's a big order. But it's not hard to fulfill. There is a secret to the Christian walk. It starts with F. Simple. Everything in the Christian walk is based on one word, F. Faith. And when you understand faith, it's easy to get victories. And so, Norman and I were talking about that this morning, and if he doesn't mind, I'm going to share not exactly what he said, but somewhat what he said to characterize it, because I think it's typical of many of us, and certainly of every one of us have gone through this, and we need to be reminded of it. Why is it that I experience victory and then all of a sudden I don't find myself experiencing victory for long periods of time? Why? I read the Bible, I go to church, I have fellowship, but I don't feel like I'm really getting it. It's not getting me or something. Why isn't it coming together? Why am I not kind of making it happen? Why is my life not as consistent and my, you know, it just isn't working? Why? I'm praying, I'm reading the Bible, I'm doing what other people seem to be doing, but it isn't working. Has anyone ever experienced that besides Norman? It's good. Praise the Lord. It's for your benefit then that we're going to settle this once and for all. And I didn't ask Norman to share, but I'm convinced that what we shared this morning was the answer. It's the bottom line. It's all there is. There's faith. And so we want to go over the ABCs. It couldn't be simpler, and yet it's so critical to get this down. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5. So you can just picture Norman helping me this evening. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, why would Paul say that? Real obviously, because a whole bunch of people were experiencing the yoke of bondage again. They had gotten the victory, but they couldn't stand in it. They had the victory now and again, but increasingly the Christian life just wasn't what it was cracked up to be, and they didn't know how to get it cracked up to be what it was supposed to be. And so many people then begin to wonder, what have I done wrong? Where have I gone wrong? What didn't I understand? Why isn't it working? Because I'm not able to stand fast. It seems to me like, you know, I'm just like the world again. You know, sometimes it works, but I don't seem to have a handle on it. Now, it is possible to have a handle on it. It is possible to obey these words. That's why Paul said them. Stand fast, firm, without moving, in the liberty, in the freedom. And what Norman was essentially saying is, I don't feel free. I was for a while there. I experienced through salvation and deliverance and the baptism of the Spirit, and I've really had some great moments of freedom. And you've seen the joy on Norman's face, so you know that. But I don't seem to have that anymore. I don't seem to know how to keep that up, how to keep that going. I must have missed a turn somewhere. Something went wrong. And immediately out of my mouth, without even hearing anything he had to say, I think it was the first thing, he just said something, and I said, oh, I know what your problem is. And he hadn't even told me anything. But it just came out. I wasn't really responding to his words. I just said, well, you have a problem with the difference between the spirit and the flesh. That's your problem. It's a problem. You just don't understand the difference between spirit and flesh. And then he began to tell me the problem. It was a good thing that I said it first, because afterward I probably wouldn't have been so clear. After you hear a story, you know, you kind of get convinced by the story. You go, yeah, wow, gosh, you know. And you kind of see it. You know, boy, that is tough. I'm not sure, you know. But the Holy Spirit knows how to cut through that prior to it. But the Lord gave wisdom. And every once in a while, as Norman was saying things, I would be saying some things, and Peg would come along and say, tell him this. You know, Norman didn't know that. But she was giving the real answers. Tell him this. You know. I was getting to that. But it was perfect. It was perfect. And I assume by the smile on his face something good happened today. But at any rate, it's so important to be able to understand the difference between this and that. That's fairly simple. Now, the mistake is to mistake this for that, or that for this. Right? If you can understand that, that's about as simple as you can get. You've got it. That's all there is in the whole Christian walk. It always boils down to that, right there. So that's all you have to understand. At every moment of your life, there's nothing more to understand but that. Right? You know that's what Hebrews 4:12 says. The Word of God, Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God, what? Is sharp, quick, active. You know, it's a two-edged, watch, two-edged. Now, let me draw my sword here. Two-edged sword. That means it cuts two ways. Two. Now, remember two. Remember that two. Because everybody wants one. There's the mistake right there. You just forgot. It's always two. Always two. Always two. 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 If you get this down, you'll be able to stand always. You just won't have one. You know, you'll have two, and you'll be able to stand. You see that? All you have to remember is there's two, this and this. And all you got to do is distinguish them. So that's very simple. Now, let's look at the Bible here and see what the Bible has to say. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised again, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that's circumcised that he's a debtor to the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. So, listen to that. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. That's pretty amazing. The whole Old Testament said be justified by the law, and here the New Testament comes along, at least this funny guy Paul, and says, oh, if you do what God said in the Old Testament, then you don't get grace. It's amazing, isn't it? If you keep the law, if you're justified by the law, then you've fallen from grace. If you can do it, yeah, you've fallen away from grace. That's pretty powerful. I mean, that is powerful. Isn't that powerful? That's amazing, because all Christians today that I know of are always preaching the law still. Well, I didn't do this. You know, I didn't feel good this morning. I don't think I'm quite getting it. This is all law, right? Isn't it all law? Isn't the only thing that bothers us is not certainly gospel, how Jesus died on the cross and how he was buried and how he rose again for us and so on. It's all that doesn't bother us, does it? Hopefully no one is bothered over the fact that Jesus died, rose, and, you know, now ascended on high. All right. Now, Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Faith, 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 faith. Now, what's faith? What is faith? That's what we need to talk about tonight. Because up on the top of the line is faith. So what's on the bottom of the line? What's everything else? Okay, I'm going to say sight. But it's okay. you know, whatever. It's the confusion that causes doubt and so on. But it's faith or sight. Now, can you see faith? Answer. No. 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 You can't see faith. Now, when people get in trouble, it's always because they're trying to see faith. Always. They're trying to see faith. Hebrews 11, 1 says, faith is the substance. The thing that stands under, sub, basement, down, bottom. It's the substance. It's under my stand. It's the thing I'm standing on. That's what faith is. I can lean on this thing or stand on the floor or something. That's faith. It's holding me. It's holding me. It's holding me. Now, it says here that faith is the substance, but it's invisible. So this realm above this side of the sword is invisible. Now, if you'll just remember this, you'll never have a problem. All you have to do is remember this. And this solves every problem you can ever have. Faith is substance. Sight is experience. What you experience. And the Bible never says build anything on that. It's not substance. Now, experiences are real, but they're not substance. You can't stand on them. And so what Norman was saying was, how come my faith isn't producing some experience that's something solid? It's a mistake right there. It's a confusion. Because your experience will never be solid. You will never experience your faith. These are two separate things, aren't they? You know what we all want? We all want to experience our faith. We all want to see faith. It's not going to happen. It'll never happen. For example, let me give an example. Happiness. When we say happiness, what do we want to do? Do we want to believe that by faith or do we want to believe that by experience? Who wants a faith happiness? Everybody wants the experience happiness, right? But you ain't going to get one. Because this one's going to be intermittent, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, 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 the more you're looking for it. You know, and that's what happened to Norman. You know, at first it was up, down, up, down, then down, 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 down. And the more he looked for it, then he really went down, you know. Because he wasn't wanting faith. He was wanting his faith to be proven here, to show up here. But it's never substance. It's not substance. You can't build anything here. And that's what we all want. We want our faith. We want God. We want to experience God. You can't. You can't. The experience will never be substantial. You can have an experience, but it's going to be by faith if you want to substantialize it. Certainly, faith shows up, but it doesn't show up as faith. And so the substance part is still back here. It's in the invisible realm. Now, where do you find out what's going on substance-wise, faith-wise, spirit-wise? Where do you find out about that? You can't find out by your experience. That's what we all want. You'll never find it that way. Even if you did for a minute, you wouldn't the next. So it would be useless to you. You can never verify anything here. So, I wake up in the morning, I feel like I'm not a Christian. I feel heavy. I feel like I never did accept Jesus. Because I thought I was going to feel glory! You know, I thought I was going to feel something like that. But instead I got up, where's the toothbrush? You know, and I didn't feel Christian, you know. And I didn't get how I was Christian. I didn't look like a Christian. I looked in the mirror. That's not a Christian, you know. You know. I couldn't figure out how I was a Christian. How do you figure out how you're a Christian? Everything up here is based on the Word. Everything down here is based on what you see or experience. The only way you know anything is by the Word. That's why God gave the Word. That's the only purpose for the Word. The Word produces faith. Faith comes from hearing. Faith cometh from experiencing. Seeing. No. So, you can't say, well, I didn't think I am a Christian because, or I think I must be a lousy Christian, or I think, or I feel, or I've just done, or I didn't do. What does that have to do with anything? All of that kind of talk, thoughts, feelings, emotions, wants, desires, passions, behavior, acts, omissions, commissions, all of that has nothing to do with faith. Nothing, 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 nothing. It's on this side of the sword. It's below the line. It's the thing we actually experience and live. You can never build anything on that. It's not substance. Now, it's real. You really experience things, you really feel things, you really think things, but 9/10 of them are silly. 9/10 of your thoughts are vain. 9/10 of your feelings are foolish. You know, so much of what, you know, when we wake up, it seems to me like I'm not a Christian. Because I don't act like one, feel like one, look like one, talk like one, walk like one. It seems to me. Well, who cares? What does that have to do with anything? Below the line, that's an important statement to make, because someone looking at you would say, you don't seem like a Christian. And you could say, agreed. That's a seem. But if you stopped there, you'd have missed the whole point. That's only one side, what seems. But what is? Now, you see, in the Christian life, unless you live by faith, you're never going to get anywhere. If you look for things to show up, like testimonies are kind of like this showing up. Every testimony is, my faith showed up. But I'll tell you something. The testimony is not the thing. You're just testifying of the thing that you never saw. You didn't see anything. You didn't see God. I had a vision of God. You didn't see God. You had a vision. But the vision wasn't God. I actually saw His finger coming out. No, you didn't. You just had a vision. But it was so vivid to me. It was just a vision. It was a vivid vision. It was just a vision. And that's when it comes down here, it's no longer God, substance. Hello. You'll never in this world experience God, substance. Even in Jesus. I mean, after all, Judas saw God and he didn't see substance. Neither did Herod. They all saw the guy. You'd think, if I could only see him. You can't see him. Even though they saw him, they didn't see him. It doesn't do you any good. Now, God wants you to build everything on the Word. That's why He gave the Word. Now, how does this invisible God that you never see get to us through the Word? He gets to us through the Word. But how do you know that Word is the Word? Because it works. Now, here's the thing. You can test this thing out, and it will work. But if you look here, it won't work. So simple. All you got to do is stay up here, and then you'll get all this down here. The more you stay up here, the more you'll get down here. But the minute you focus down here, you lose what's up here. So, obviously, stay up here all the time. Then whatever you see, it's not substance. You can just testify of it, but quickly get off. Quickly get your eyes here. Keep your eyes here. Even while you're testifying, you should have your eye here. You shouldn't be testifying for people. You're testifying to glorify God. You know, I wonder how I'm sounding, you know. Yeah. The testimony is not for people. I mean, for them. It's to glorify God. You're glorifying God. You're not getting up because you're performing for the church family. Now, I'm going to use this now because that's the teaching. That's a simple teaching. Is this is substance, this is faith, this is Word. The only way you get in here is, so here's a statement that you could remember is, you can't feel your faith. You can't feel your faith. You can't feel your faith. Say, I don't feel like I'm a Christian. Of course, you never will. No, I did last week. I felt like I was a Christian last week. Yeah, you had a feeling. But you see, that didn't tell you you were a Christian. I felt like a Christian. I felt the presence of God. I tell you, I felt it, but I haven't had it all week. I must have fallen from grace. I must have fallen away from God. I'm trying to get it back. I read the Word an extra hour this morning. I called up my pastor. You know, I did something. Yeah, that isn't going to help you. Well, calling the pastor might. Because he'll remind you. It's faith. It's all faith. Faith, faith. You say, well, I want to feel it. I want to experience it so I know that I know that I know. That's how I'll know that I know that I know. That's not how you know that you know that you know. That's how you get in trouble. You're not going to know except by the Word. Now, when the Word says you're happy, let's say, the Word says, I am. When the Word says I am, I am. Now, when the Word says I am not, I am not. So whatever the Word says, we're all agreed now, that's substance. But my feelings are going to argue. Galatians 5:22 says, the Spirit and the flesh have a war. That's what Norman had been meditating on. Just so happens, you know. Interesting. The very verse he was meditating on, and he understood it. He could have given a little teaching on it. Probably did out at the base out there. Probably gave a teaching on it that week to some of the other fellows. You know, I've been reading Galatians, you know. But still, it hadn't quite penetrated. They put it into substance. Why? Because of that simple confusion there that this should have showed up here. You know, somehow I should be able to get my faith down here more and more into my life. You know, so that I can experience God. It won't happen. You can't experience God. Can't. This is a confusion. It's what we call mysticism, legalism, all kinds of isms. But it's not Christianity. In Christianity, this is as far as you can go. You never get beyond this. I don't care how many experiences you have, you can say that was God, and I don't deny it. But it's never substance. It's just a testimony. But if you live on that testimony, Paul says, I don't live on dreams or visions or all that. He had them. He had visions and dreams and all kinds of wonderful things. But they're not substance. They're not basic. This is substance and basic. Look, you don't need to know all that other stuff about dreams and visions and hands coming out of the clouds. It doesn't help you anyway. You got all you need in the Bible. You got plenty. For example, rejoice in the Word always. That's plenty to go on. I mean, that's enough to occupy you for eternity. You know, love your neighbor. I mean, you don't need to have an experience to do that kind of stuff. But the thing is, the devil comes along and says, you're not a Christian, you don't feel happy. But where is that? Above or below? I don't feel happy. All right, here's a more accurate one since I've worn that one out. Is someone in the church doesn't do something right and you're critical of them. You don't like them. You don't like what they did. You don't like them. But somehow you're not happy about the whole business. You're not happy, that's for sure. So you're critical. Now then, you're unhappy that you're critical. How can I be a Christian? I'm critical. Now there's a problem. Are you still a Christian? Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could get not feeling critical? And so people try. I'm going to not feel critical. I hope the pastor will preach a sermon on that this morning. Maybe I could get a verse on not feeling critical. If I could only get a verse, I could say it. It's not going to help, is it? The basic confusion is that not feeling critical counted for something. Or feeling critical was a bad thing. Who cares if you're feeling critical? Are you critical because you feel critical? Answer. Is that substantial? Am I critical because I feel critical? Now, this is beginning to count more. Am I critical because I feel critical? I mean, I'm actually feeling critical toward this person. You know, I hate them. You know, hello, Mrs. Jones, I hate you. You know, I'm definitely feeling critical. Get out of my sight, you know. Why do you have to show up, you know. I'm definitely feeling critical. But am I critical? It's substantial up here. I may be feeling critical, but I'm not critical. If I could only remember that, I'd be free from it. That's all I have to remember, is though I feel it, I'm not it. That would save me. All Christians are working right down here is they're feeling, let's say, critical. And they're trying to get back to not feeling critical. Not feeling critical. So we got to get from here to here. It's all under the sword. It's on this side of the edge. It doesn't matter whether you feel critical or you don't feel critical. Whether you feel worshipful is another one, worship. Sometimes, you know, when the worship is going on, you just feel the Spirit, and it's almost like, you know, everyone's getting caught up in it, and you feel good. Finally, they're getting somewhere. Oh, praise God, this is acceptable. I'm going to release myself too. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, oh, hallelujah. You know, and you go home saying, why, we worshiped this morning. Oh, did you feel it? Nah. You didn't feel it? Man, it was beautiful, honey. Didn't you feel it?
Not really.
It's glorious. You remember how the, you know, and so on and so forth. And you're just describing and people fell out and all that. Yeah, wasn't that silly? No, that wasn't silly. I was really feeling it. And you feel like you were really in the presence of God and that's really great. I'll tell you something. That's not great. When you feel the other way, you don't feel anything, but you do it anyway. Praise God. God praise you. You know. As long as you have faith, that counts. I just want you to know that. As wooden as that sound, as, you know, even while you're being critical over here, let's say I'm critical of Nathan. Why is he here? Praise God, hallelujah. But if I had faith in that, it would be genuine worship. If I had faith in it. I didn't feel worshipy, and I certainly was critical at the same time. But in the Bible's eyes, if I'm able, theologically, to remember this, my worship is true worship. And I could say to God in that moment, God, I really don't feel your presence right now, and I don't feel good about Nathan. I wish he would get out of here. But I know that's a lie. I know that I love you right now, and I know that I love my brother Nathan. He's the greatest brother that ever happened to me. Therefore, my worship is acceptable in your sight, and I'm acceptable in your sight, and I'm a son, and so on and so forth. So we're having a wonderful time. But you're not feeling any of this, and you don't have to. And God does not expect it. I don't care if you feel it. But I tell you, if you start saying that, you'll feel it. The amazing thing is, if you start doing it, you will feel it. You will. You will. I mean, I could prove that to you right now. If we would just begin to, you know, shout and worship God, you could, pretty soon you'd be feeling it. If you're Christian, we're not talking about psyching pagans up, but if you were a Christian, and you began saying, I love you, Jesus, or even say, I love you to your wife or your husband. It works. After a while, you start to feel it. You know, but usually we don't say it, to use the human example, we don't say it to our husband or wives when we're not feeling it. Because we don't want to be, what? Hypocrites. That's one of Satan's biggest deals.
I don't want to be a hypocrite.
You know, I know I was feeling critical, so I'm not going to go to church right now because I'm feeling critical, and I know I am, and I'm not going to fool God. This is ridiculous. You're under the line. He doesn't care whether you feel it or don't feel it. It's not impressive to him. It doesn't count. What he's looking for is one thing, one thing, one thing, one thing, one thing, one thing. Faith in his word. And his word has nothing to do with all this. It has nothing to do with it. You're not going to feel your religion all the time. You can't. You won't. It isn't possible. Jesus didn't do it either. Now, there's a mistake there. That's a fundamental mistake that most of us want to go by sight. Now, I'd like to use, if you don't mind, because it was a good illustration, I want to use what I shared this morning, knowing that Norman was in the military and that he had an experience called boot camp. I thought I would, you know, and you've all seen these barbed wire affairs where the guy has to, you know, get down and, you know, wiggle underneath there. And you're not supposed to put your head up here because there are bullets going out to blow your head off, you know. So you're not supposed to poke your head above the line. Now, faith is keeping your head down. Experience is putting your head above. Now, the commander is back here shouting commands, you know, keep your head down, you know, crawl, you know. And so you don't feel like crawling. You don't like the commander, you know, especially in that moment. You want to look up and see what's happening to the other guys and, you know, what's kind of going on. Because you're not sure if it's real or not real. You know, you don't know if there's real bullets. Maybe they're dummies. Maybe they're, you know, maybe you could just get up and walk through that thing. You know, you didn't want to get up at 5:30 in the morning anyway. And so you don't understand why you're there. It's not clear to you why this is essential. You've crawled before. You know what I mean? I mean, some guys are good crawlers before they get into this. So what's the point? You know, I mean, 1 or 2 days of crawling is enough. Why crawl for 6 weeks, you know? I mean, there's a lot of your thinking just doesn't go along with this. So the temptation is to want to disobey and to actually look for an experience instead of just going by faith. When you go by faith, you have no idea what you're doing. You're just having to depend upon this guy who's just a human being. Not very trustworthy. Why should I? Because that's what it's all about. It's all about learning to obey. It's not a learning about shining your shoes. It's not learning how to brush your teeth. It's not learning how to get up at 5:30. That has nothing to do with it. They don't even care. It's all about learning to obey when I say something. The commander wants to make sure that when you get into the real war, that you don't let the troop down, you don't lose your own life, and the war isn't lost. So he has to make sure you obey him without seeing. Because when you get into the thick of it, your experiences will tell you to run when you want when he says stay. Or to stay, you know, when he tells you to run. I can't. You know, and the guys, come on, you know. And so you have to be able to obey because the commander, you have to assume, knows something. Because you can't be your own private colonel, you know, or general. You know, there's only one army per country. You know, you don't get to form your own army. You know, the private army. don't you see the parallel? Our church is full of armies, you know. Everybody's got their own division, you know. There's only one guy in the division. It's them, you know. But they've got it all rigged up, you know. It's a mess, you know. And when you get out on the battlefield, it's just chaos and anarchy. Because they never learned to obey. They never learned to have faith. And so they constantly wonder, why aren't we winning the war, you know. Well, it's obvious. We never went through boot camp. You have to learn, and when you're a new Christian, you need to learn this right away. That's why boot camp is good. Get it right in the beginning. Learn that the basic difference is faith or doubt. The basic thing is faith or experience, faith or sight, whatever. But the idea is you're either going to follow the Word and believe what the Word says, or you're going to go by what you think, what you feel, what you've done, and so on and so forth. Now, you can make it. This is designed in such a way that people can make it. So most people do make it. There's a few that don't. But you can make it. Now, the same is true in the Christian walk. If you're born again, you make it. You know, I mean, it doesn't take a lot to pass the test. You know, so you have to do some push-ups. You know, you see some guys just, you know, they're not really doing them and so on, but they pass that stuff. You know, it's okay. You can make it. I mean, it's designed in such a way, they say, because they're only after one thing. They don't care if you really do 5,000 push-ups or three. It's not going to make the difference between winning the Russians or losing, okay? But what they're interested in is you do what we tell you to do, when we tell you to do, how we tell you to do it. That's all they're interested in. When we say kill, we mean kill. You know, they want to make sure you know that word. That's basically what boot camp is all about. There's an enemy out there and they describe him. You know, we're the good guys, he's the bad guy, kill him. That's boot camp. If anybody's been through it, that's what it's all about. The bottom line is kill. Now, spiritually speaking, you need to learn that there's an enemy out there who wants to kill you. And you are not to make bargains with him, make deals with him, but you must kill him. And that is, it's an all-out war. It's life or death. And so, if you don't learn this here, in the church, when you get out into the real war, you will be slaughtered. He will overcome you easily. As soon as you get away from the womb, you know, the protected environment, you will be easily slaughtered. Especially the hour that's coming upon the world, where it's going to demand greater faith than we've had need to have up to this point. Now, everybody in their own life is experiencing things right now because it's a boot camp kind of thing. You know, why do you think God is stretching history out? Because he likes to see all the wretchedness and so on? No. It's because his bride is so slow. She won't make herself ready. That's why he's doing it. He's not just, you know, enjoying to see how many awful things can transpire in the time of human history. God is really, it's up to us. God is calling us to believe. That's all he's looking for. If he had a faithful people right now, he could bring this thing to a close. Hello? Hello? That's what he's looking for. And you see, this is so rare. This is so rare. This is not rare. This is where most Christians are and stay there. They don't stay here. You're supposed to be here all the time, and occasionally have some really neat experiences that you testify of. But it's the other way around for most people. They're always here, and occasionally they have faith. Hello? Hello? You can say amen. Good Baptists. Now, Now, I want to make this very real to you right now. Now you've got the teaching down, there's a line. Above it is faith, below it is sight, experience. And the Bible says, no here, as far as substance goes, and yes here. This is substance, this is reality. This is who you really are, and when it says you're not, you're not. Now, down here, you get angry. Up here, you don't. Down here, you lust. Up here, you don't. Down here, you get sick. Up here, you don't. And so on. And you just keep going all the way through the Bible, and you can find a nice line between dark and light, good and evil. You can just make a line. Now, I'll find a line for you. Here's one right here. But, now, the works of the flesh are obvious. Here they are. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. He ran out of words there. I mean, it could have kept going. Probably stopped with about 18 or something. And then he suddenly got tired saying all those things. It's kind of like, you get the idea? You know, it's kind of like, now listen to this, you can see, you know, it's like those little kid pictures. Can you see the common element? You know, here it goes. Adultery? Can you see? Now watch this. Fornication. Can you see how they're kind of related? Uncleanness. Can you see how they're kind of, it's all in the same camp. Now watch. Love. Can you see that's a little different group? I'm making an obvious point. It's making an obvious point. The works of the flesh are obvious. When you're frustrated, angry, bitter, blah, 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 that's easy to tell because it kind of does this to you, depresses you, or makes you self-focused, or something like that. Whereas the works of the Spirit are the opposite. They're obvious too. When you see someone, you know, happy, not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, it's obvious. They've got love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, you know, all those things. Huh, that's obvious too. Whole bunch of other things. So up here, it says, I am love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. That's who I am. That's above the line. It doesn't say anything about what I feel. I don't feel loving all the time. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But I am loving all the time. All right? I don't feel joyful all the time. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But I am joyful all the time. Down below the line, sometimes, sometimes. Up above the line, always. Now, it says up here, I am not lustful. I am not lascivious. I am not an adulterer. I am not. But sometimes down here, I am. Sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I am. Sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I am. Sometimes I'm not. So down here, no substance. Now, how to get down here so that I am not the wrong things and am the right things more often in my experience? By remembering. That's all. Just by reckoning myself dead unto sin and alive unto God, I'll actually change my experience levels. But the experience level is not critical. It's this which is critical. It's faith that God is looking for. Now watch. Let's get into a bad down here. Let's see, critical again. I am critical, actually, of people. Is there anyone here that has ever had that sin? Being critical of somebody. Yeah, you didn't like something about them. Okay, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 12. Okay. So we got some people who would understand this one. Okay. Now, here's the thing. That's below the line. You wake up on Wednesday morning, and you find yourself for an hour and a half between 9 and 10:30 critical. You know, that person comes to mind. You know, and you find you're just critical of them. You know, and you don't want to pray for them and bless them, but you do being a good Christian. And so you kind of say, Lord, keep them out of my sight. You know, it's sort of a blessing of sorts. What a blessing it would be, Lord. You know, okay, I will not do, you know, I'm not that strong a Christian. I'm not going to go and ask their forgiveness and so on and so forth. So there, I'm not critical. Now, what does it actually say up here? Am I critical or am I not critical? It says up here, I am not critical. I am loving. Now, which are you going to believe? You're going to believe what you experienced or you're going to believe what the Bible says? Which is true? Here's what I think. Here's what I feel. Here's what I do. Here's what I even desire. I like feeling critical. Actually, I'll tell you why we like feeling critical. We like feeling critical because it feels justified. It feels like justice. Like they deserve it. I mean, I'm not just being critical to be critical. They need it. Because they did wrong. And someone's got to feel critical. You know, and I'll do it. I have to do it. I have to do it. Somebody has to do it. No, really, I mean, there's just kind of a sense of justice that has to be done. You couldn't just let the person go. All right, now, who are you? Now, see, here's the whole thing. The whole thing is not down here. That's an easy one. You either win or lose down here. But up here is where the real thing is. This is the real battle. Do you believe you're not critical? You know, we really have no problems in the Christian family. Hello? You see what I'm saying? Now, this is hard to believe because it's not experienced. This is not based on anything but the Bible. Now, all you got to do is prove me wrong by showing me the Bible. But you see what the Bible says is, actually, that's not you. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, the old, I would say being, this is the bad here. Critical. Here's not critical. Okay. The old, that's old. That's the old man. That's old. Being critical has passed away. So am I critical? Even though I was just acting critical, feeling critical, thinking critical, desiring critical, am I critical? No. And is God critical of me being critical? No. 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 He loves you. God loves me being critical? Uh-huh. He's looking on the heart, the truth. He's going according to the Word. He's going according to the blood of Jesus that washed me, that I believed in. Now, should I cease believing in that? Down here, I don't feel like I believe in it for a moment. I feel like I'm full of self-pity. I feel like I'm full of anger. I feel like I'm full of lust. I feel like I'm full of greed. I feel like. Does that mean that's what I am? Is that who I am? No. It's not who I am. So don't try to get a victory down here. Get the victory always up here. Start in victory. Don't get the victory. Down here, I'm trying to go from failure to victory. Now, it's kind of like this. You kind of got to go like this. You got to get up. You know, so I really should draw down here, critical or, you know, vengeful, lustful, ugly, bad. Now, I got to get up the stairs like this. Go to church more often, pray every morning, you know, whatever I can do to get up those stairs. You can never win that. I'm going to tell you right now, you'll never win that victory. Even if you did, you'd be back down there a second later. You'd be full of anxiety. You can't go from failure ever to victory. You can never go from failure to victory. You can never go from failure to victory. That's what the whole world is doing. That's why it's under law. It's trying to decrease the gap from failure to victory. You can't do it. If you're a failure, you are a failure. Flesh is always a failure. Flesh is always down here, failing. Can never get a victory. Flesh will never get a victory. If you don't have a victory, you never get a victory. But if you got a victory, you've always got a victory. Listen to me. This is Bible talk. The Bible says we go from victory to victory. It does not say we go from failure to victory. You can't go from failure to victory. You can only go from victory to victory to victory to victory to victory, from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. Hello? Ever-increasing glory. Not from failure. You can't get out of the failure box. If you're in the failure box, you're in the failure box. But God has put you in the victory box. How did you ever get out? You didn't. You didn't. It's just a matter of believing. Do you believe you're in victory or do you believe you're in defeat? If you believe you're in defeat, try as you may, you can't get out. You know, you can never get out. If you, in fact, are critical, you'll never cease being critical. I don't care what you do. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I'm not critical. I won't be critical. You know, I won't be impatient. I won't be. You know, I'm determined not to be angry. You know, you can't get out of it. I don't care how hard you try. Once you're defeated, you're defeated. I'm never defeated. Hello? You say, well, didn't you feel defeated the other day? Sure. I don't count my feelings. Hey, you were defeated. You're a phony. You were defeated. I saw you. You know, I'm going to ask your wife. Wasn't he defeated? Yes, she was. He was walking around the house looking awful, you know. This is me. That's not me. That's just how I feel, how I think, how I act, how I do. It's not me. I'm not how I feel, how I think, how I act, how I do. I'm how Jesus says I am. How does He says I am? He says I'm all right. If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. He says I am, that's what He says I am. Reckon yourself dead unto sin, alive unto God. That's who I am. I'm dead. Now look, down here, I mean up here I've got I ams and I am nots. I am alive to God, I am dead to sin. That will give you the victory over every sin. Believing. Faith is the victory, not trying. Not trying to get an experience. It's all up here in faith. Do you really believe you're perfect? I'll say it again. Do you believe you're perfect? No. Look. How can you say you're perfect? In Christ Jesus. Well, where else is you in? What are you in? You're in experience, in Adam? This is in Adam down here. You know? Well, I'll put it this way. You actually could be in Christ down here too. But the difference between those two things is a come and go, come and go, come and go, come and go. Don't measure that one. Measure this one. Just find out who you are in the Spirit. Now you see, you can never experience that. You must believe that. The only way I can ever find out what I really am is by reading in the Word. That's why Jesus defeated the devil by saying three words. What? It is written. He didn't say, I feel, Satan, like you're trying to tempt me. I feel it. I feel it. I feel like you're trying to tempt me. Am I right? Yeah, okay, I thought so. He didn't talk about feeling, did he? I think you're trying to tempt me. No, he didn't say that, did he? He said, I know what you're doing. I know who I am. My Father said, I am the Son of the living God. I am the only begotten of the Father. He just told me that, 40 days ago when I got baptized. He said, Thou art my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. I remember that. It's written. He quoted that. Imagine God quoting His own word. That's kind of funny, isn't it? I mean, God could have invented a new word right there. But He just used one of His old words. Parents are kind of like that, aren't they? When they're dealing with their children. They like to repeat stuff. Get to bed. Come to table. My son, you will rule in my stead someday. They say the same things all the time. I love you. Parents repeat themselves like that. Well, that's what he said, because you know why he said that? It's because Jesus for 30 years lived down here in his experience. I mean, he had experiences. And so he wanted to affirm what Jesus was believing. And so he said to him, you're right. Thou art my beloved son. He just quoted the Bible. That's how he gave Jesus assurance. He quoted the Bible. It's like, man, he already knew that. He already knew what the Bible said. He said, thou art my beloved son. He just applied it. Just said it. But again, Jesus did not experience God. I'm going to say that again. Jesus did not experience God. He experienced God by faith, which he didn't see. He didn't see God. Jesus didn't see God that day. Jesus. Father. He didn't. He could have looked at a bush or someplace else. He didn't have to look up. He's probably wiping the water out of his eyes, Do you see what I'm saying? We have the funny feeling that somehow it was something, where he actually had an experience of heaven. He didn't. He didn't see the veil parted. Jesus was limited, just like us. Tempted in every way, just like unto us. See, it's all by faith, isn't it? So now, who are you? That's the question. If Jesus is who he says he is, then you are who he says he is. You are. That's the only issue to life. There is no other. You either believe that or you don't. I do. That gives me victory. When you do, you will have victory too. If you look down here to get victory, you won't. You will continually fail. Because you're looking for an experience of something that cannot be experienced. You're looking for an experience of something that must be believed. The only issue then is, what does it say in the Bible? The only issue ever is, what does it say in the Bible? So when Norman said to me, but Pastor, I've been trying real hard. What does that count? But I don't feel like I'm really getting it. What does that count? And so I said to Norman, what does the Bible say? Well, I don't know what the Bible says, but I'm not getting it. I mean, the Bible says stuff, but I'm not getting it. Yeah, but see, getting it, this is why you feel like you're a hypocrite, is because you're feeling something down here and you're not feeling this over here. But that's not hypocrisy. That's not what it's all about. It's hypocrisy if you live down here. Whether you're feeling it or not feeling it, that's all hypocritical. Because this is the thing that counts in the Bible, up here. You're a hypocrite if you say, if you talk about what you're feeling. Hello? 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 Are you following me? You're a hypocrite if you say, I'm going to be real honest with you. I've never liked you. You know, I'm finally not being a hypocrite. You are a hypocrite. That's hypocritical. So you're being honest. You're still a hypocrite. Because God said, you're pure. I never liked you. You know, that's hypocrisy. This is a lie. It's not what God said at all. You're being a hypocrite.
I'm not being a hypocrite. I finally said it.
Yeah. I said it to you. Big deal. You know, why be surprised that people are sinful down here? Rather to look at one another up here. You're not a sinful people. You're a beautiful people. Now, you do commit sins down here. Let's make no bones about it. But that's not who you are. We don't regard you because of what you do down here. We may not give you a Sunday school class. You know, some responsibility of some sort. Because God has commanded us not to. But we don't look at you as being worthless or to be judged because of how you've behaved or not behaved. We don't consider you more important or less important. This is the only thing that counts. You're all worthy. Worthy. As a matter of fact, those that are the most awful in the church must be given the greatest honor according to the Bible. They must be honored. And we're talking about Christians. They must be honored. Doesn't mean you can't rebuke sin and all this kind of stuff. But it does mean that if people are having real problems, then we should be fasting. We should be praying. We should be doing everything we can to build them up. Rebuking is part of that. Rebuking is not a negative. Rebuking is a very positive thing when it's done in love. Right? Right? It's a beautiful thing to rebuke somebody. Most people don't like it. Well, who are you? Who is that? It's God. It's God. Or it may not be, but it can often be. Check it out anyway. Look, most of us are still living down here. We're trying to get from here to here. That's a losing deal. You know, and we feel real proud when we stay here for a while. And we feel real awful when we're here for a while. That's silly. It doesn't make any difference. It's only here. The only thing Robert and I look for is whether you have faith or not. We don't care about your behavior, your actions. Because if you have faith, the actions will come along. They'll come along. They may not come along right away, as we've found out. No, but we know that from our own lives. But they will come. Faith always produces fruit. You will, in fact, if you have faith in God, if you believe that you're clean. See, Peter says, have you forgotten that your sins were washed away? You say, well, that'll just make someone indulgent or full of license or something. No, it won't. If you really remember who you are, let's say I was critical over here at Nathan, and so I'm feeling my criticalness. And all of a sudden, the Bible comes to me and says, you're not critical. I hear the pastor preaching a sermon, or I hear a tape, or I read it. So I'm not critical? I'm not critical. And I believe that. Let's say I believe that. I'm feeling critical toward Nathan. But the Bible says I'm not. So I say to myself, what I feel is a lie. I really hate him. But that's a lie. So what's the opposite of that? I love him. That's the truth. Now, I feel I hate him. But the Bible says I love him. Now, if I really believe that I love him, don't you see that I can't stay hating him? If I really believe I hate him, I'm going to follow through on it. I may not show him directly, but I'll get him one way or the other. I may punish myself even for hating him. But someone's going to pay. And he'll pay too, because he'll lose me. Even if I punished myself, it's a loss to him. I'll get him. Now, but if I don't believe that I'm critical, I only believe that I feel critical. I mean, it's just my old man thing. But I really believe I love him. Don't you see that'll be a difference? Because I'm looking at Nathan right now and I don't like him. You know, I don't. I don't like you. You know, and this is easy. No, it's a good example. No. But all of a sudden, you know, I remember the Bible. The truth says, This is your best friend. This is a beautiful brother. This is, you know, that's changing me. You see, if I even believe that, it's going to destroy all my hatred. You know, my hatred was just about to get him. You know, and now it can't. It'll just destroy it. Because that is my brother whom I love. Now I begin to speak that out. I love you. Maybe not to him, maybe to him. But I begin to speak it out before God. Nathan is my best friend. I love him. He is blessing me. I am blessing him. Where am I living right now? In experience? No. I'm living up here. But you see, as I keep saying that, pretty soon that will become my experience. You are the greatest people on the face of the earth for me. Now, as that is not a peer. That does not appear. But that is the truth. I am, you're not going to like this. I am the most wonderful pastor for you. Perfectly, see, perfectly shaped, molded, prepared to bless you. With flaws and all. Isn't God funny? But that's what God says above the line. He says, flaws and all, I am. I am. I am. You are. You are. Now that saves me a lot of grief. It saves me a lot of frustration. When I forget, and I do forget. When I forget, I fall down here and I lose my substance. That is, experientially I do. And I get depressed. I get confused. And a lot of other things. But when I remember again who I am, it all vanishes like the morning dew. Just like that. That's how I can forgive Nathan for what he did, because he said he was going to be here and he wasn't here. And I hold that against you, brother. When a man says he's going to be here, I want you to be here. You know, I'm always here. Oh. Oh, well. You know, and you know, so on. So the point is, I have no stone to throw at anybody. And many of you think you have stones to throw. Especially, you know, as a leader or a pastor, it's easy to throw stones. People either admire you or they hate you. It's very hard to stay in the middle. You know, especially when they're as bold as Robert and I. You just can't believe them. You know, you must have experienced already going from, you know, one extreme to another. These guys, you know, you make certain conclusions. How many here have ever hated me? Enjoyed it. I mean, and really enjoyed it too. Old pig. She's always practicing at home. Okay, so I didn't know that. Did you make a note of all those people? Okay, but what big deal? All that is nothing. It says nothing. It's nothing. It's just a feeling. You're dumb. You're wrong. You're mistaken. You didn't recognize who I was. I was your best friend. I was a gift to God. Now, I forgive you. It's okay. I'd have done the same thing. I'd do the same thing. Big deal. Do you see what I'm saying? It's not the truth, though. Here's the truth. You love me. The love of God has been spread abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5. Oh, that's the truth. Now, you see, I got that out of the Bible. I didn't get that out of my experience. I got that out of the Bible. Now, some people come to me and say, Pastor, I want you to know, if everybody else would fall away from you, I love you. I've had a lot of people say that to me. Lots of people. I see that a lot of people really don't seem to understand you. I understand you. I am with you. You know. Now, I can say that because most of those people are all gone. That's a sure sign of trouble. And, you know, your temptation is to say, no, you don't, you know, and kind of save yourself from the beginning. But God has always told me to say, well, praise the Lord. Thank you, brother. Boy, that means a lot to me, you know. And they're going to get you, you know. It's just a matter of time. So, but we don't live down there. That's why we can do that, is because we don't live down here. We're living up here. I know you guys are the most loving people in the world. You are. You'll do everything God intends you to do. You will. Huh. You see, that's faith. It's not experience. It is faith. But I believe that like substance. Like substance. That's the only reason that we can forgive and forget and blow it off and go on. And keep going. Man, if we would look at where we are, right now we haven't got a dollar in the bank as a church.
And that's typical.
If we were to go by where we are, but we never tell people. We don't tell. I think once or twice we may have told. I don't know. But not too often. We don't tell. We just have faith. That doesn't mean we're dumb. We know what, you know, we watch the thing. Look at it. Watch it go down. Watch it build up, watch it go out, you know, up and down. But, you know, we have faith that it'll be there. And, you know, we tremble at times. You know, David knows we tremble at times. And, you know, I yell at David. David's one of the few people I yell at, you know. Right, David?
Amen.
But it's because we love each other. I love David. And I sin. I mean, I sin against him. But David, he bears the brunt of that sometimes. Because I'm trying to bawl somebody out. He's the only one I can bawl out. You know? Most of the others won't stick around. Well, what's going on? I mean, did the guy say he was going to come and do the thing or not? You're the helps coordinator. How come he isn't here? You know, that kind of a thing. You know? Now, if I was the helps coordinator, you know, it's a lie. It's all a lie. If I were the helps coordinator, the thing would fall apart. But don't tell David that. Because, you know, I'm trying to get David to do the thing, you know, so I'll feel good. You know, if people get me, I get David, you know, kind of thing. Hello. Now, all of this down here, it isn't going to work if we're living down here. We've got to live up here. David's got to have faith, not in what he feels from me all the time. I'm nice to David. At times, David.
David.
There are times you could bear testimony.
Faith anyway.
But definitely by faith. By faith. There's definitely times you can say, I am really awful. Okay. But if ye bite and devour one another. Faith. All right. So this is how to get along in the church. I tell you, we're ugly people down here. We are. We're for the most part ugly. Very little nice. We wear masks, I know, but very little are we nice. We're mostly ugly. But by faith, we're not. So let's live up here. Heaven starts today.
Amen.
By faith, you can have heaven right now. By faith, we can already live in heaven. All we have to do is choose to. All we have to do is have faith. Is that faith? If you have faith right now, you can transcend all the problems, all the troubles.
Amen.
You still see them. But by faith, right now, we can have heaven. We can practice heaven right now. But you say, I'd feel hypocritical if I did. No, you're hypocritical if you don't. The Bible has already told you that you're seated with Christ in heavenly places. Doesn't that what the Bible says? You say, I don't feel like I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. I feel like I'm seated on 615 College Avenue in a yellow pew. But you're not. You are seated with Christ in heavenly places. I don't care what you think, what you feel, what appears, how you act, how you behave, how you disbehave, whatever. You are in Christ in heavenly places. That's the truth. Now, if you believe that, it'll change your life. It'll change your life. We will see incredible things based on what? Some supernatural work of God? No, based on faith. Faith will bring the supernatural work of God. We don't need a revival or something pumped up or waiting for some. All we need is faith. So all we need is the stuff we already have. All we need to do is do what we need to be doing. All we need to do is do the regular, ordinary thing of believing. That's all. All of our mistakes come from this confusion. All of them. The difference between this side of the sword and this side of the sword. Between faith and sight. So let's live by faith. Oh, it kills you. It kills you to live by faith, but you have to believe. Now, don't do it. Don't do it and say, okay, all right. I'm critical, but I'm going to say to him I'm not. No. If you're critical, you're critical. But are you critical? Believe that you're not critical. Don't say, okay, well, I know I am critical, but I know you're not supposed to be, so I'm going to not be critical. Hi, Jane. You know, I love you. You know, that's hypocritical. That's lying. But not for the reason you think. It's because you're not believing the truth up here. You're not really living in the light. You are children of the light. You don't have to become children of the light. You are. You are right now. Let's say all the things we are. Let's turn to Galatians 5. Let's say all the things we are. Verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Is that you? You're a neighbor lover. You do love me as yourself. Oh, thank God. Thank God I'm in the body of Christ. See, I'm speaking faith. Thank God I'm in the body of Christ. Now, why don't we talk like that all the time? All right, we will. Every time we read something in Scripture, let's apply it. Time to apply that. Let's from now on talk heaven talk, Bible talk. The Bible is very consistent on this. So, now it says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, and Jesus is the fulfillment, and so I believe that. Thou shalt love the neighbor as thyself. Read that now, not as an imperative, but read that as an indicative. That is, it says, not, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, but read it as, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Thou shalt do this because of Christ. Because of what Christ has done, now thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So, now, there's no reason to keep us from us except faith. Most of us still don't believe that we love our neighbor as ourselves. We believe we're trying to love our neighbor as ourselves. Right? It's not what the Bible says. It doesn't say, try to love the neighbor as thyself. It says, thou shalt love the neighbor as thyself. You do. You already love me. So let's do it. Do what you are. Be yourself. Be yourself. Be yourself. Be yourself. Who are you? Beautiful. Born again. New creation. Already seated with Christ in heavenly places. Amen? This is who we are. Now, it's easy, isn't it? It's easy to forgive. I'm a forgiver. It's easy when people do evil to me to return good. Why? I'm a good returner for evil person. That's me, because it says so in the book. All right, let's read these now. 22, verse 22, chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit... Say it.
But the fruit of the Spirit...
Is that I am love.
I am joy.
I am peace.
I am long-suffering.
I am gentleness.
I am goodness.
I am faith.
I am meekness.
I am temperance.
All right.
Now, if we put it in the right form, what I'm trying to get across there is the I am. This is who you are. Now, we didn't have good grammar there, but we got the I am. So, I love. You know, but I want you to get the idea that it's more than just that you occasionally love. You are loving all the time. I am all the time loving. Now, we're not talking down here, obviously. But we're talking about up here, in your heart, in your spirit, in your new man, by faith, according to the Word. That's who you are. Now, that will help you. If you remember that, it will help you. I am always loving. Say it.
I am always loving.
Right now, I feel especially loving. Now, see, that wasn't true for many of you. That was not true because you don't feel especially loving right now. But I am especially loving right now. Say that.
I am especially loving.
That is true. That is true. The next one. I am joyful. All the time. It's amazing how much joy I have.
It's
almost, in fact, it's impossible to get me unjoyful. I see you're getting down below the line again. I can tell. Get back up. Things always go my way. You know, I mean, this is just true. They can't go against me. I am peaceful.
I'm
always peaceful. It's amazing how much peace I have. When other people are upset, I'm always peaceful. Don't get down here. Stay up here. I'm always peaceful. That's true. I am long-suffering. When people sin against me, doesn't bother me at all. Y'all.
I easily forgive them.
I delight in forgiving people that are obnoxious to me.
Yeah,
it's simple, isn't it? That's who you are. That's exactly a description of you. That's who Christ in you is. That's what the new birth is about. It's not about trying harder. Not now that Jesus has come and given you a good example, you can do better than Moses. No, no. This is greater than Moses. You really have a new heart. And that new heart does show up when you don't look at the show up, you just look at Jesus. You just believe the truth. I am gentle. It's a remarkable thing about me. Not everyone notices, but I am gentle. Even when I sound caustic, I am gentle. When will people see? When will they notice? And you know, the answer is heaven, you know. But among the body of Christ, we could start now by faith. By faith to notice that, couldn't we? We could do that. We could go up to people and say, I see, and we're talking faith talk, I see your gentleness, your kindness. You see, too often we think it's neater if somebody says, you know, I can really see that you're a gentle person. And see, we feel like that's a nice thing to say. You're just putting people in bondage down here, then they have to play act. Don't say it that way. Just go up to them by faith and say, you know, to someone who's, and just say, you know, praise the Lord. Yeah, it wouldn't say it that time because that would be kind of irritating. But the point is, your idea is to communicate to them that that doesn't bother you. You know. I saw Trina tonight, you know, yelling at her little girl. You know. And I thought what I would think if I were her, I wish he wasn't looking right now because I'm going to pay attention to this kid and I'm going to do this thing and I'm not looking real Christian-y. I don't know what she really thought, but that's what I would have thought if someone had looked at me, because sometimes I'd get a hold of David and say, hey, I told you to sit down. You know, don't exactly look too pastory right there. Gentle word turns away wrath and all that kind of stuff, you know. So I said, sit down, you know. Gets the job done. But anyway, I am goodness. Now, only God is good, but remember, all of these characteristics are all God. This is the character of God that is now applied to us by faith. We accept it. So, in that sense, I am good. I am really regarded as good, even though none is good but God. I am regarded as good because God has united himself with me. You see, I am good. I am faithful. Others may be disloyal, but not me. You can count on me. I am faithful. I am full of faith. I'm not a doubter at all. Not at all. It's good. Meek. I am very meek. Exceedingly meek. You've heard of Moses? Regard me. I am meek. He was the meekest man on the earth. I am meek. You know, you need to see this. This is true, isn't it? All of this is true because it's true of Jesus. It's now true of us. You must begin to see yourself in this light. If you begin to see yourself in this light, as you see yourself, so you'll do. As you believe, so you shall be. As you think, so a man is. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Whatever you're meditating upon, now we're meditating upon the truth, it'll show up in your actions. If you meditate down here on troubles and problems and, you know, failures and stuff, then you'll act that way. And that's why most of us do. So, to change your action, we don't want to change your action. We want to change your faith. That is, we want to give you faith. We want to encourage your faith. We want your faith to grow by reading the Word, because that's how faith grows. All I'm teaching tonight is in the Word. We're not talking here anything about understanding or feeling. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to feel it. All you have to do is believe it. But the only kind of understanding I want tonight is, do you understand this? You know, the only thing I'm trying to understand is this. There's a line here between substance and appearance. So, between faith and sight. I am temperate. Temperate.
I am temperate.
It means that I'm a teetotaler, right? Temperance law. Okay. All right. I am a person of immense self-control. I don't lose control ever. I have never lost control, actually, since I've become a Christian. Now, again, you're thinking down here. You see, up here, I've never lost control. That's who I am. What a difference this would make if we would believe what God said, thou art my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. If you'd believe that, it'd make a difference in your life and ministry. Now, since we experience down here so much, we're tempted all the time to live down here rather than up here. But this is the secret. And I would like to just close by asking Norman what happened today. This would be a surprise for me too, maybe.
Well, really nothing much, because as soon as I
finished. Okay, thanks a lot, Norman. And that was a word from Norman. No, go ahead.
No, I just... Well, went straight to sleep because that's my sleeping time during the day. And I woke up. She forgot to call me up. I woke up at 6:30. Just rushed out here.
Amen. So you've come fresh. But I know that something good happened. I mean, I know that the word went in. And I know that God had prepared Norman long before anything I said or Peggy said. He had really prepared you already. You were in the right scriptures and so on. So it's a reality. I felt the release as we were even talking. You know, there was a release in your spirit. You know, because you said, at a certain point, you said, I've never understood that, or, oh, I see that now, or that's the problem, or something like to that effect. And that's how I know. I just told you how I knew, because he said some words. That's how we reveal ourselves, isn't it? Somebody doesn't go, I had ESP, and when I just knew it. You know, you didn't just know it. You heard something, you know. You know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah, I could have a word of knowledge, but it wasn't a word of knowledge. It was just, you know, I heard. And all I mean is he said something, and I said, aha, he's got it, you know. That's what I mean. Praise the Lord. Now, never again forget that, and you'll always have victory. Always. Because you always have victory. Let's see if we can start talking heaven talk from now on. Now, don't get mad at yourself when you don't follow this through right away. Don't get mad at yourself when you don't follow it through right away. Just keep going. You'll get it eventually. Just believe who you are. You know, maybe tonight you thought of something, you thought, well, okay, he's trying to get me to do it. No, I'm not trying to get you to do anything. I just want you to believe something. Believe the truth. If you know the truth, if you follow the truth, if you walk in the truth, you will be set free. You will be set free. What's the truth? The Word.
Hey.
It's the Word. The Word's just telling you who Jesus is. If you want to hear Jesus or experience Jesus, just do this. This is where you're going to find him. He's waiting. Above this side of the sword. He's on this side of the sword, on this side of the line. Simple. It's extremely simple. But that you see, the secret to every successful life is simplicity. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, I thank you for this perfect people. I thank you that indeed we are your creation. Who could say anything but it is good? It is good. You looked over your original creation and said it's good. Surely you wouldn't say less of us. Surely you wouldn't say less of us. Surely you didn't say less of us. You have spoken. You have made known to us your will. It is not a mystery. It is not something difficult to find. It is not hard. You have made it clear to us. We thank you that you have shown us the path of life. You have shown us the way, the truth, the life. You have revealed to us who you are. Now we know who we are. And oh, I thank you, Lord God, for knowing my brothers and sisters in truth, in the light, not knowing them according to a human standard or human understanding. I thank you that we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once regarded Christ from a human point of view, we regard him thus no longer. But if anyone is in Christ, he is, she is, we are a new creation. Behold, the old has passed away and the new has come. Father God, we thank you that something new has happened. And tonight, it didn't become new. We just began to realize a little more. We grew a little bit in our faith. So a little more glory was revealed. That we might never forget who we are, what you've done. That's what you've done. Who we are is what you've done. You've done something to change our very natures. To create something that wasn't there before. To bring forth something that should have an effect tonight. Because it's not concentrating on our lives, but on the truth. Oh God, give faith then to this people as they believe your word, your clear word, your solid word, your strong word, your true word, your word. Because therein, it is written, lies our salvation. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory that overcomes our experience. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. In Jesus' holy name, we love you. We love one another. We love ourselves. We even love this wicked world, even those that hate us. We love them and want to do wonderful things for them, to bless them. In Jesus' holy name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen.